In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In November, we think about the harvest. Thanksgiving is this week, and soon we will be having a voters' meeting to adopt next year's budget. So it's the time and the season for a sermon with a stewardship theme. But don't be frightened. Stewardship isn't only about money, and sermons are always about God's love. And you know that I'm not an arm twister. So let's begin with a true story. Seminary professor was at a Christian rock concert. The young man next to him had a Jesus t-shirt and Jesus wristbands and several Jesus tattoos. This young man was dancing and singing with every song. "You must really love Jesus," the professor said. "I do," the young man answered. "I love Jesus. I'd do anything for Jesus. I'd die for Jesus." "That's great," said the professor. "What church do you go to?" "Oh, I don't go to any church," he said. "Church is too boring." "Now, hold on," said the professor. "You just said that you would die for Jesus, but you won't be bored for him for just 1 hour a week?" This exchange begs the question, is worship something we do for Jesus or something Jesus does for us? Actually, the divine service is Jesus serving us. He gives us the word. He gives us his flesh and blood. He builds up our faith. He forgives our sins. And that's not boring. That's exciting. Still, at the same time, whether we come to worship and hear the word and receive the sacrament or not is our choice. We choose how we respond to the gift God gives us. Scripture tells us that we should not neglect meeting together. The book of Hebrews says avoiding the sacrament is like trampling on Jesus' body and blood. When we worship, we are witnessing to our faith. We are setting a positive example for others, and we are teaching our young people what they need to know about God. Very important Christian things to do. True Christian stewardship is properly handling our time, our talent, and our treasure for the sake of Christ and his church. We commend that young man in my story's love about Jesus, but not being part of a regular worshiping community and serving his community is regrettable. Jesus told a story about a servant who regrettably misused and abused his time and treasure. You know the parable of how the master goes away and leaves his servants with 10, 5, and 1 talent respectively. And you know how the master came back after a long time, and one servant had turned his 10 talents into 20, and another turned his 5 talents into 10 the same way, by wise investment. But one servant was fearful and hid his single talent, not even putting it in a savings account where it would have gained just a little interest, but still have been worth more than what he had received. We know how the shrewd, risk-taking servants are rewarded and the cowardly servant was punished. What might that parable look like today? I once heard a speaker who runs a church communications consulting agency. He told us about his first client. There was a small mission church, and the pastor had planned a series of events for youth and adults that needed publicity. The communications consultant liked the plan so much, he wrote a program to advertise it and said that he would waive his fee. However, the publicity for the church would cost $3,000. The pastor and the consultant presented the plan to the congregation, and at first there was an awkward silence. Then a man stood up and said, "We only have $50 in the budget for publicity," and he sat down. And again, there was silence. Then a woman stood up and asked the consultant, "Will this program bring a lot of people into our church? And the consultant answered, ma'am, I can't promise you that. It may bring a few, it may bring a lot. But I do know this, that if you do nothing, no one will come. And even if the program doesn't bring as many people as you hoped right now, it still just might plant a seed in somebody that will blossom sometime later. The woman pulled out a checkbook and said, I'll write a check for $1,500. Then another woman pulled out her checkbook and said, I'll write a check for the other $1,500. And my brother, who's a printer, doesn't know it yet, but he's going to do all the printing for free. That's an example of people being bold and courageous and taking risks for the Lord. Now, not every time that we take a risk for our Lord is there a guarantee that things are going to work out just fine. If we had that promise, then it wouldn't be a risk, would it? But unless we risk, unless we make an attempt, and unless we don't first succeed but try again, we can be sure that nothing will happen. It's all a matter of attitude and inspiration. We can have great plans and strategies to do great things for the Lord and His church, but if we don't put them into action, if we don't give them our best efforts, if we aren't sincere and genuine in our serving, they will accomplish nothing. But when we are motivated, when we are inspired, when we leave it all on the field, then God just may choose to accomplish great things through us. Nothing great was ever accomplished without some sacrifice, some hard work, and some stepping out in faith. Often God's people get depressed because they can't do everything for the church they would like to do. We look at our needs, and sometimes we feel overwhelmed. We feel limited because we feel like we don't have the time, the talent, or the treasure to give the Lord what He is due. One of the principles of stewardship that I've always preached is that we never ask anyone to give what they don't have. That would just be illogical. We don't demand that people do the impossible. So you don't ask the servant with one talent to turn it into 100. We don't ask people who aren't multimillionaires to give millions of dollars. But we do encourage everyone to help however they can. I read a newspaper article about former Yankees manager Buck Showalter. He built several very successful teams. He said he did it by focusing on what the players could do, not on what they couldn't do. A lot of managers, he said, look at a player and say, he can't hit, he can't throw, I can't use him. But Buck would look at a player and say, he can't hit, he can't throw, but he can run. And he would find situations for the player to be a success using his speed. That's focusing on assets rather than liabilities. That's just smart. We all have things that we can do. No matter how limited we might think we are, there are always ways for us to show our love and gratitude to the Lord for our salvation and have a positive impact on our community for Christ. Look around our town. There are many people who have no relationship with Christ at all. There are many people who might have some idea of who Jesus is, but certainly are not in anything like loving, communing discipleship with our Lord. These are people who need to hear the gospel. They need to know that Jesus died for them. They need the church. And it's up to us to tell them. No one else is going to do it. It's up to us to use whatever God has given us to reach the lambs for whom the good shepherd died. I have no doubts that each of us, me included, could do more and better at that than we are currently doing. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod President Matthew Harrison had a very insightful article a while back in the official magazine of the Lutheran Church. It's called The Lutheran Witness. He wrote about which denominations are growing in the United States and which are declining. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses are growing. Now, of course, their theology, what they believe, is very different from what we believe. But many people who don't have an understanding of the Bible just believe what they're told. They've never been exposed to it before. Somebody might say something that's not true, and they just accept it as fact. A couple years ago, the local ministerium, the Wellsville Area Ministers Association, sponsored a program where they went door to door, knocked on every door in Wellsville, left a CD and some invitations to the church, and would talk to the people if they came. Sounds like a really great idea, but no one saw an explosion in the number of people coming to church after that. In my years of ministry, I've tried doing some door-to-door evangelism several times, and what happened more often than not was that I got the door shut in my face. Maybe some people have luck with evangelism like that, but I'm not sure that that's for us. So, which denominations are declining? Lutherans, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and even Baptists. Research has shown that the decline has nothing to do with the style of worship, whether it's contemporary or traditional. It has nothing to do with the way they celebrate communion, whether it's open or closed. One big reason for the decline in church membership is that people who are church members don't have as many children as they used to and aren't having as many children as the people who belong to the growing churches do. The baby boom's been over for a long time, but that doesn't excuse us from being good evangelists and stewards. We aren't asking you to knock on every door in the country. But we do encourage church members to direct their friends in need to the church for help. We don't have to have huge publicity campaigns. Yes, we all know now that Jesus gets us, but there is a lot more to being a follower of Christ than just knowing that. What we have to do, what has been found to be the most effective way to evangelize, is to invite our family and friends to church with us. And that is something that we can all do. God has given us everything that we need to do His work in our world. Do we have the will and the motivation and the commitment to do it? May God grant us the grace to use our time, talent, and treasures to His glory. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.